Morning, everybody. Before I start, you know, as we were worshipping, I was just reflecting on just how fortunate we are to be able to come together like this in safety, with that wind going on outside, people's lives being turned upside down. There was somebody pulled out of the sea this morning at Pevensey Bay. We don't know whether they're alive or not, but probably not. And so somebody's life has maybe have gone, their family will all be upset. Others of us recently have been joyfully living our lives and something has happened that has suddenly made life feel so different and difficult. And yet we are able to come and worship this wonderful God who loves us so much. And we can hold on to his promises and reflect back on the love that he has shown us in our lives, even when the going is tough, so that we can hold on to those things. And those of you that have got children that may have gone through difficult times, how you've held on to them even through the difficult times, God holds on to us. So I just want us to pray, because not just for us, but there will be many people that today are really struggling. It may be that they've been trying to get across the channel. It may be that they are hungry. It may be all sorts of different things. But some people are going to be really, really struggling today, wondering what life is all about. And I want to pray that today they may experience God's love in a very special way. And if that applies to you as well, that you will experience God's love in a very special way today. Let's pray. Father, just thank you that you are our Father God who loves his children so much. Even when your children are naughty, even when your children perhaps sometimes even refuse to acknowledge you as Father, you still love them, you still love us. And Father, we want to pray especially for today, for those people whose lives seem to be falling apart, for those who are going through such extreme distress, unhappiness, whatever. Father, we want to pray that today they will experience your love. Whether it be through another person or through some miraculous happening or whatever it will be, that somehow they will experience your love in a very special way today. And Father, as we look at your word now, will you help us to receive from you? Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and work in our lives. Change us, transform us, make us more like Jesus with a heart to serve, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're looking at a passage today in Luke 14 and the words are quite hard and it's not a passage I like reading, but I'm going to read it to you because that's what we're looking at today and that's what God wants to look at. So it's Luke 14 starting at verse 25. Large crowds were travelling with Jesus and turning to them he said, "If anyone comes to me and doesn't hate their father and mother and their wife and their children and their brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever doesn't carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you've enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and then not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, 'This person began to build and wasn't able to finish.' Or suppose a king's about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he's able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he's not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything that you have cannot be my disciples. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown out. Whoever has ears, let him hear." Okay. Well, those of you that have been around here for a while and have heard me spout on will know that I've often said that being a Christian, a follower of Jesus, is pretty simple. It's a pretty simple thing to do because all we've got to do is love your God with all your soul and mind, and to love your neighbour as yourself. That's all you've got to do to be a Christian. If you love God with everything and you love others more than yourself, you are a Christian, you're a follower of Jesus, and you will have eternal life and spend eternity with him. It's simple. Absolutely simple, isn't it? But, you know, and this is where I think sometimes perhaps some of the evangelists in the past used to make it seem so simple that that's all you've got to do and that's it, finish. Well, unfortunately, it isn't. And I want to give you a little illustration. This guy went to another man who was a good climber. He said, I want to pay for you to climb Mount Everest. I will cover everything. I will cover your flights. I will cover the cost of all your equipment. I will cover all your costs for the guides and the supporters and the helpers and all the costs while you train and everything. I will pay every single penny you need to climb Everest. And the guy said, thank you. I'm going to climb Everest for free. But of course, he wasn't, because there was going to be a huge personal cost for him. It didn't cost him anything in terms of money, and it was a gift freely given. But once he said yes, and once he determined that he was going to do it, what did he have to do? He had to commit himself to a heck of a lot of training to get himself fit enough to be able to do it. He had to commit himself to training the people that were going to go with him so that they would support him and help him. And he had to do all sorts of things in order to be able to make that climb. And even had to put his life in danger, because we know that many people climb Everest and die. So yes, it was a totally free gift, but there is a cost. Or I'll give you another illustration. Somebody comes up to me and says, Graham, I'm going to give you a lifetime membership for the golf club. I'm going to pay for a lifetime membership, so you'll never have to pay to play golf again, and I'm going to buy all your clubs and all your golf equipment and gear. I'm going to pay for your buggy and a replacement when you need one in a few years' time. Everything, I'm going to pay the lot. Great, what a gift. Absolutely free golf for the rest of my life. But actually, it's not that brilliant unless I actually get myself out of bed and get myself dressed in my nice new golf gear and go up to the golf course. And then actually take a ball out of the bag and bend down and put it on the ground and then knock six bells out of it and try and get down the 18 holes in as few shots as possible. So I've got to work. I've got to make an effort. I've got to work at it. And if I want to be any good, I've got to practice and I've got to seek to be better. I've got to focus. Because do you know what? One of the worst things when you try and play golf, if you can't focus, that ball goes everywhere but there. Because if you don't focus, you don't hit it quite right and it goes spinning off there and it bends round there. A bit like the rugby yesterday when they were kicking the ball and that wind was just taking it everywhere. You were watching the rugby, weren't you? Yeah, of course you were. Okay, so if you don't focus with golf, it's a nightmare. If you don't practice, you don't get better. But you see, it's not only about knocking six bells at the ball, it's about when you get near the green of just doing a nice little deft chip shot so that you can get it within 6 inches of the hole. And then a beautifully lined up putt and just nice little knock and plop. Nothing better than hearing that sound of plop down that ball goes down into the cup. You know, you've got to put the effort in. You've got to work at it, and you've got to keep. And do you know what? You can have the best round of your life and think, do you know what? I've cracked it. And the next time you go out, you can't hit a ball for toffee. That's how golf is, because you've got to focus. You've got to practice. You've got to aim to get better. So why have I told you that? Not to give you a lesson in golf. But you see, we can say, Jesus, yes, I love you. Jesus, I want to serve you. Jesus, I will give. I will accept everything you're giving to me. And that's it. Well, we're not doing anything with it, are we? We've actually got to work at being a Christian. We've got to work at being a disciple. And so when we look at this bit in Luke that we've just been reading, so does it mean that actually we've got to hate our mum and dad? And we've got to hate our wives? And we've got to hate our brothers and sisters and our children? Well, Jesus was very good at saying things to actually evoke a response. He was very good at saying things that would actually make people think and think, what on earth is the point he's trying to make here? He wasn't actually meaning you've got to hate them. But what he meant was you've got to love your Father God so much that in comparison, you hate your family. In comparison. So he's not saying, you know, you've got to go and say, wife, I hate you. Because he's not saying that at all. He's saying, you've got to say, wife, I love you to bits. You know how much you love your children, how, you know, it makes your heart just warm and burn when you think about how much you love your child, particularly when if they're going through a really difficult time or they're going through a wonderful time, and you just feel that wonderful warmth and love. Well, that's how God feels for us and multiply it by a few hundred thousand times. And he wants us to love him even more than we love our children. So when Diane was talking earlier about having that passion, you've got passion for your children, haven't you? Well, you should be showing even more passion for God, because you love him so much, you want to please him and you want to serve him every day. So every day, a bit like when, you know, if some mornings when I'm playing golf, when I've got up on a Saturday morning and I've looked out and it's weather a bit like this, I thought, oh, really? Do I really want to go out and play this? Do I really want to get soaked to the skin? But I do. Partly because my wife says, well, we've paid the money, you're going to go and play. Get out there. But I do. Every day we have a choice and we need to wake up and say, God, I love you. God, I want to serve you. I want to be your person wherever I'm going to be. Whether it be meeting somebody, whether it's working, whether it's doing something else, I want to be your person in that place, and I want people to see Jesus through me. I want them to experience the love of Jesus through me. Will you help me be a true child of God, your true son, your true daughter, and show people you with everybody I meet? Do you know what? I think it's a fantastic thing. You see, those of us that are going through physical pain at the moment know that our physical bodies don't get better as we get older, do they? They tend to deteriorate just a bit. Well, you know, we know that God is going to give us a new body. And there's going to be no more tears, no more hurt. But do you know, I don't see anywhere where it says you won't work anymore. I don't know, and somebody may prove me wrong, but I don't think it says anywhere in Scripture that you won't work. And when you think about it, you look at God, he's working every day, isn't he? Because he's looking after all his children. And Jesus is sitting at God's right hand interceding on our behalf. So he's working every day as well. So what would make us think that we won't be working when we go to heaven? There won't be any tears, so it's going to be work that we enjoy. Now, I met with a guy yesterday who's going to be a street pastor in Eastbourne. And we were talking, and he's going to drive the safe space as well. And so I said to myself, it was a roundabout way of me asking him how old he was, really. I said, so when are you going to retire and start collecting your pension? And he went, I've been collecting it for 9 years. He said, I'm 74. And I went, oh, no, I'm going to have to get special dispensation for you to drive the vehicle now because you can't over 70. But I said to him, you don't look 74. And he said, I love my work. He said, I'm going to be doing that until the day I die if I can. He said, I absolutely love, and he works on a building site. 74 years old. I love my work and I want to work every day that I possibly can. 74 years old, I go around and he's actually painting his kitchen before he has new flooring laid on Monday. You know, fantastic guy. Going to keep on working. And I think we're going to come and work in heaven. But we need that work ethic now. We need that ethic that says every day, I want to serve my God. Even if it causes me pain, even if it causes me discomfort or inconvenience, I'm going to serve my God. Because, I think the disciples were pretty inconvenienced. You know, having to leave their boat and go walking with Jesus in all these different places, sometimes wondering where the next bit of food's going to come from, being told to go and do things that they'd never done before, go and pray with people and pray for them to be healed, and thinking, and if they don't like it, dust your feet and walk off and leave them. All those sorts of things. It must have been incredibly difficult being a disciple. And it is difficult for us sometimes. It's difficult for us. But just going back to the Everest analogy. The guy climbing Everest doesn't go on his own. He's got Sherpas, he's got helpers, and people setting up camps for him and everything else. He doesn't even have to carry half his own gear, because he's got people. So these poor Sherpas and that actually climb just as much as he does, but he's the one that gets all the glory. But he has all these people that help him. And do you know, it reminds me a little bit of being a Christian. We don't have to do all this on our own. We talked about this the other week, didn't we? We can do things together. We can help one another. We can assist. You've all got gifts that I haven't got. So you can help me do things and I can help you do things to a better extent than if you do it on your own. But also, where the analogy falls down is, as a Christian, we've got an extra bit. And that's Holy Spirit. Because at the end of the day, the climber has to climb himself. He has to do it in his own strength. He hasn't got anybody else giving him the strength to do it. He has to, with those finger holds and everything else, he has to do it in his own strength. But when we're living in Christ, Holy Spirit will empower us to do things way beyond what we might normally be able to do. So you're not in this on your own. You've got other people around you that should be supporting you. And you're not doing it all in your own strength. Holy Spirit will enable and empower you to do far more. Isn't that fantastic? Yeah? Is it? Yeah. Come on, guys. So, just to clarify, I'm not saying you've got to hate your family. I'm just saying love God so much that in comparison it seems that you hate your family. So you love your family so much, just love God so, so much more. God has paid your lifetime membership to heaven, to eternal life. What you do with it is up to you. Do you seek to serve him? Because it says all you've got to do is love me with all your soul, with all your heart, with all your mind. But to do that, you've actually got to do something, haven't you? It's not just, well, I made that one-off decision. You know, I think they reckon that from the missions back in the 70s and 80s, something like 10 to 15% have stood the test of time. Because for some, it was the heat of the moment. It was just the feeling of, oh, I've got to respond. And they meant it at the time, but then they didn't do anything with it afterwards, and they've fallen by the wayside. We need to every day seek to be that disciple. That disciple that says, I love you. That disciple says, I will go wherever you send me. That disciple that says, I love you so much that even if it costs me, I will do that. My old minister from Ceylon Place, John Glover, he's well into his 80s now. He's still preaching nearly every week. He's still taking funerals. And the other week when Jeremy got taken to hospital, he had been in to see him before I'd even had a chance to phone him to say that Jeremy was unwell. He just so wants to serve God. So I want to say to you, don't matter if you're a teenager, in your 20s or 30s, or your 80s or 90s, or anywhere in between, it's about serving God every day, using all that you have to bless his children. And his children are believers and non-believers, because he created them all. Yeah? He created them all. So, to finish, it's not complicated. It's pretty simple. It's about loving the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, loving your neighbour as yourself, and every day being determined to serve and live out that simple way. If we do that, we're going to change this world, or God's going to change this world through us. Let's pray. Father, you are a blessing. You are a challenge too, because so often our hearts are willing, and sometimes our minds are willing, but sometimes our bodies let us down. Sometimes the weariness comes in and we step back and we give up. Sometimes we get disappointed and we step back. Sometimes we just can't be bothered. But Father, we're your children and you love us. And you accept us as we are. And when we say, look, we're sorry, we want to do more for you. We want to be your child. We want to be obedient. We want to love you and show you how much we love you. You just continue to wrap your loving arms around us. And Holy Spirit, when we allow you to have your way in us, we can be so much more effective in our servanthood, in our discipleship. Father, will you help us? Help me every day to seek to serve you. Not just when I'm feeling good, not just when I'm feeling full of energy, but every day, whatever situation. And Father, when I've seen some people in hospital and when I've gone in and the staff said, do you know, oh, that person is so lovely. They're a joy to look after because they've got joy in them. They just want to make other people's lives happy. And you just think, oh, Father, let me be like that. somebody who stands out for Jesus in whatever situation I'm in. So Father, will you help us to be like that? Because we ask it in his precious name. Amen.